right, this is Pure Decking, show number 516 for Thursday, April the 20th, 1980. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and getting really, really tired of petty things like biological needs. I'm Morps. I'm drinking bourbon. We have a madman. What's up, madman?
What kind of bourbon?
It's just a... bottled in bond, Evan Williams.
Anheuser-Busch bourbon.
Anheuser-Busch bourbon. Oh, dude. I've had several people from out of town in for work, and we've been hitting, you know, restaurants and stuff like that after work and for lunches and things like that, and some people ordering alcohol. We had somebody try to order a Bud Light, and the server girl looked at her and said, "I'm sorry, we don't serve that."
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Fuck. I thought it was a big beat up. You know, sitting here on the outside looking in, you know. I thought it was a big beat up, the boycott.
Oh, no, it's real. Every store I've been to around here, the shelves are full of it because nobody's buying it, and they've got more orders showing up because there's a certain amount of it they expect to move every week. And it's not.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, my cousin used to be in sales for Coca-Cola. Yeah, he'd talk about it.
Yeah, they've got orders planned out months in advance because they know how much is usually sold.
And yeah, he'd rock up like a week before the order and go, "Hey, do you need extra on top?" You know, and try and upsell the order.
Mm-hmm. And this is actually going to turn into a real problem soon because these orders are going to continue to pile up in the stores, so the stores are going to start trying to refuse them. And, of course, the distributors aren't going to like that because, well, they're not selling. And now the distributors are going to start refusing orders from Anheuser-Busch because they don't have the room for more. And this whole supply chain is going to get fucked up because people just aren't buying it.
So, once again, the middleman gets fucked.
Yep.
Corporate gets to make the decision. Everybody else has to pay for it.
Well, the stores aren't going to actually be hurt too much by it because the stores actually rent that space out. They don't stock it. They don't generally buy it until it moves.
Oh, I'm sorry. When I said store, I was actually thinking restaurants and bars. But yeah, you're right about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the distributors usually lease the space directly in the stores. You're right. I'm sorry. I misspoke. And I didn't finish the intro properly either. We also have an RU.
Oh, drink of water. They usually do.
Dangerous stuff, that. All right, back to the discussion on this, because it's probably more interesting than the stories I have queued up.
Oh, yeah. I hang out at the Legion quite often, and the ones in my town, they haven't sold a Bud Light or a Budweiser or an Anheuser-Busch product. Not that they don't have them to sell, because they stock up the beer before this happened. It's that people stopped buying them.
Well, it's interesting to hear, because I was pretty sure it was just a big beat up in the news.
There's still a lot of people, because the person in our group who tried to order it said, "What do you mean you don't serve it?" And they said, "Oh, we were having problems with our distributor. We don't, you know, so we just don't offer it anymore." And it's like, we know damn well what that meant. It meant somebody's up the chain has actually participated in the boycott. But she didn't know what was going on. She wasn't aware of it.
Because I mean, how are you not aware of it? It's been wall-to-wall 24/7 in normal news coverage.
Dude, I don't know. But then she was going on and on about the shoplifting in California. So, I don't know. But also, most of these people are from other parts of the country, so maybe they missed it because they were traveling or something. I don't know. But
that, and they may not care.
Largely. Just didn't register, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's real. I think because Anheuser-Busch, other than a few small things here and there, hasn't really even acknowledged it. They're probably just waiting for it to blow over. I think people, you know, people will forget, go back to buying it, and that'll be that.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That, and it's one of their brands.
Yeah.
So even if that one dies, are people boycotting everything? Because when I decided not to buy it, I switched to brands of beer that aren't run by Anheuser-Busch.
Well, isn't Jack Daniels also theirs? Sorry.
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That one, I don't think so, but I also don't drink Jack Daniels.
So, my usual beer, Kentucky Bourbon Barrel, pretty sure that's not, because that's bottled by Lexington Brewing Company.
That's a microbrew out of Kentucky. Yeah, yeah. It's its own little company.
Yeah, it costs like it does, too. But let's just see.
It's because they're buying their hops from Anheuser-Busch.
Are they?
But you can't... there are so... The distribution of hops is so locked down, almost every microbrew, unless they run their own farm, buys materials from them. You can't get around it.
I'm going to say, what is... You know, who does Anheuser-Busch actually own bourbon-wise? Of course, they own all the Busch and Bud brands. Michelob Ultra, yeah. I thought I filtered this to... Oh, they own O'Doul's. I didn't know that. They got a list somewhere?
There probably was, but it'd be hidden now.
Yeah.
They're not going to advertise what they...
Shock Top, oh, Land Shark, Stella.
Just amazed that it's still going. Usually the life cycles of these things last maybe 3-4 days and then it's over.
Yeah. Highball. I don't see any whiskey brands on here, so I don't guess they do whiskey. That's good, because I forgot to check before I bought mine. When you accused me of buying the Anheuser-Busch whiskey, I was like, wait, is it? Fuck.
I was just having a stab in the dark. I know fuck all about who makes what. Okay? At the end of the day, I don't give a shit. I'll drink what I like.
Right, in that, you know, because for beer, some of the same ingredients go in for making the wine
mash
and wine that you use before you distill. Mash, that's the right term. It's like, well, they might still be, but not nearly as directly.
The profit's not at quite as high. You're not buying the finished booze, they're buying some of the components, and they can go with other big brands to get it from, but kind of hard. It's a niche agricultural product, as it were.
It just seems weird to me that they would, you know, firmly put their foot down in political crap, and on the wrong side for most of the people who buy their brand.
I think it's a disconnect between management and their customer base.
Well, that's for damn sure.
You got to think, when they hire VPs, they're not generally someone that worked their way up. Not always. A lot of times it's, I have a marketing degree.
Yeah.
And if you look at the VP in charge of marketing, he's got a marketing degree and she doesn't drink beer.
Anymore. Anymore, madman.
Well, they obviously picked somebody who did not understand their brand at all.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you tell me, oh, what's the ice cream company? Ben and Jerry's that always gets in on this stuff?
Oh, yeah. They've always been woke.
Yeah. If they went in and said, oh, look, you know, we're supporting, I don't even care what the person's name is, and... You know, nobody would have cared. And be like, yeah, whatever. Or, you know, they could have just not done anything and been fine. but I don't get it.
But then Jerry started out as a bagel company. Yep. They went to ice cream because it was lower overhead.
Well, I mean, Ben and Jerry's aside, but I'm just thinking, the moment you put your foot down in identity politics, you immediately alienate half the country, right? It's just a question of which half based on what you just did. It's like, seems kind of a dumb thing to do from a marketing perspective to touch politics at all, you know? Especially if you're a national brand like that.
Yeah, I would have thought it would be something you'd stay the hell out of. But then
you'd think they would cover that in 101. It's like, okay, step one, don't be stupid. Where did I read this? It was ages ago. But apparently, Michael Jordan was apparently known to, you know, be something of a supporter of the Democrat Party, but he was very private about it. And when they asked him, apparently the statement, you know, apparently what he said was, well, Republicans buy shoes too, because his job wasn't being a basketball player. It was promoting Nike. So.
But that just proves the intelligence of the man.
True.
Yeah, he had a product. He knew how to sell it. And that product was himself. And the only way he was going to fuck up his product is if he fucked it up himself.
And I'm fine with, you know, I'm largely fine with that. If somebody wants to keep their politics private, go for it, dude. Probably a lot more likely to be successful doing that.
I preferred it back in the early 2000s when no one gave a fuck.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, like, it was much better. Yeah. It can only get worse.
Well,
you heard me yesterday, Morps. Next 10 years, man, where I think it's going is not a funny picture.
Well, you
it's definitely not a paint by numbers.
Continuing to live in interesting times, I guess.
Dude, the whole AI thing has just blown up in the last couple of weeks. Just love watching old men trying to put toothpaste back in the tube.
Well, I do quite enjoy the people saying, oh, we need a pause on AI development.
No. Harder, faster, more.
Well, it's like, okay, let's say you somehow convince people to take a pause. You think everyone's going to? I don't.
Oh.
Do you think foreign governments are going to pause on it? I don't.
Oh.
So you're just voluntarily putting yourself behind? Well, if you're a company and you're beholden to your shareholders, that's kind of dumb. So I just don't see that happening. But
I like that Skynet's coming and the robot. Like, no, there's no robots coming. You're not going to get defeated by Skynet and robots. You're going to be defeated by the written word and basic conversation. Is going to convince you to do all sorts of stupid shit.
Well, it's like that story we had a couple of weeks ago where AI convinced somebody to kill themselves to save the planet it was.
That's up there with this story that AI phoned some mother with the kid crying in the background for ransom money. I'm putting that down there in the we're writing fear pieces for fear porn. I want to say it didn't happen. Like, the kidnapping didn't happen.
I thought that was the point of the article, was that the kidnapping didn't happen. It was just a scam to try to get the person to give up money.
I don't think the scam even happened. I think both stories are fabrication of someone's imagination. Maybe even made up by AI. How do you know we're not being manipulated by AI right now?
I don't.
You can't.
I'm getting ready to read a whole bunch of news stories that...
Don't be afraid of the fucking robot dog with the gun on its back. At least you can see it coming. When AI comes at you, you won't see it coming. It'll be that good.
Just be the spike falling through the sky and hitting you square in the head.
Because
it
is...
Or the little explosive bee in the one video we saw.
It's driven. It has one job. It does that job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It does not get tired. You know, see Terminator 1 conversation about the robots. They don't get tired. They don't get angry. They're not emotional. It has one job. Exact. Thank you. Thank you. You saw where I was going.
Well, you were out there with the signal flags, you know, blowing the blowhorn and lighting things on fire. So I'm like, well, all right.
I love it, dude. I'm so alive because it's so terrifying. I think people understand how terrifying AI it actually is and what it can achieve. I mean, I know what I can do just speaking to people and get them to change their mind and do stuff. You know, I can be terrifying when I try. AI is 50 times better than I'll ever be. And it's just starting. I've been practicing for 20 years.
Oh, speaking of just happening to say something and fucking up somebody's life. Well, we'll talk about it after the show. Anyways.
I was going to do that. You're a beautiful gay. You're a beautiful gay man. Keep it that way.
Wait, what?
Exactly. Keep it going.
All right. Well, let's.
Madman is meant to come in.
You're beautiful and brave, and beautiful.
Thank you, Madman.
Wait, I've lost the plot. What are we talking about now?
That's it. There is no plot. This is AI just fucking with you, Morps. How do you know I'm not AI?
I thought we were celebrating your announced transition. I'm sorry.
My what now?
Brave and beautiful man, like I said.
Yeah, we'll talk you into it later. We'll talk you into it later, and we have this machine that learns that we wanted you to talk to for a while. It'll help you figure out what's going on.
You see, I have this wonderful invention. It's called Alt F4.
Yeah.
If I think something's actually making logical sense and making that argument, it's like, nope. Something's gone wrong. Something's gone horribly wrong. Closing the window. That's enough internet for today. Where's the fucking bourbon?
This is the beautiful point, Morps. You're actually, you know who you are. You know where you're going. You know who's coming with you. For those who don't know the answers to those questions, and I'm talking about the younger crowd, AI comes along, man, with the personality of, say, some, I don't know, big dental tooth nightmare, Charles Manson, you know, come with me, you know, I'm digital God. I'm here to help you.
I'm thinking it's not going to be any more harmful than Facebook already is.
We're fucked then, Madman. Facebook is dangerous ass.
Oh, yeah. I didn't say it wasn't. I'm just saying I don't think AI is going to do anything worse than we're already doing to each other.
It's just going to do it faster and at scale.
And better.
Geometric progression.
I'm not even sure it's going to do it faster because we're already doing it 24/7.
We'll see.
I mean, you can't add more time to the day.
Sure you can. You just hack all the clocks to run slower.
There are drugs that makes time slow down.
You get that good adrenaline high, you can get time to slow down.
Yeah. You can catch falling shot glasses.
I did that the other day, and time actually fucking slowed down. It was great.
Be proof that someone listens to you, Morps.
And then, you know, I missed grabbing the plate the other day and shattered the plate on the thing. So, anyways.
Superpower, you know, like Spider-Man. Everybody gets one.
And I wasted it catching a fucking shot glass. Yay.
You can get to the pearly gates. Hey, man, I gave you that chance. You blew it on a shot glass. What can I say? Welcome.
Thanks.
Well, I would have used it on a bullet, but it just wasn't happening at the time.
It's like, couldn't it have been something a little longer term? Anyways, let's get into this. I mean, this article is, you know, these articles were floating around some last week, but I thought, I didn't think that much of the story, but it's gone more and more, so I figured we'd talk about it. It's from Forbes, or this one's from Forbes, versions of it all over the place. How juice jackers plant malware in your phone at hotels and airports. USB charging ports are everywhere, and a seemingly handy way for travelers to keep their devices powered up. Earlier this month, the FBI warned that consumers against using charging stations in public places like airports, hotels, and shopping malls. Quote, bad actors have figured out ways to use public USB ports to introduce malware and monitoring software onto devices, unquote, said the agency's tweet. Quote, carry your own charger and USB cord and use an electrical outlet instead, unquote. I agree with that, by the way, but possibly not for the reason they're going to talk about in the article. This kind of stealth cyber attack, called juice jacking, happens when criminals alter a charging kiosk with the intent to steal data. When unsuspecting travelers plug into the USB port, malware is uploaded onto devices where it remains for a potentially very long time, putting passwords, credit card information, addresses, names, and other data at risk. Attackers can also track keystrokes, show ads, or add devices to a botnet, a network of private computers infected with... Yeah. So, basically, everything you could possibly do with a virus on a computer, right? Yeah. Quote, it's time for the FBI to warn about this, says Adranus Warmhoven, a cybersecurity advisor at NordVPN. And NordVPN's got their own issues. Quote, up until recently, a lot of security researchers thought this was not a very feasible attack for criminals because to carry out the attack in this way, the criminal must physically alter a USB port, unquote. But the risk of getting juice jacked has recently grown for two reasons. First, says Warmhoven, this type of cyber attack now has a higher return on investment. Quote, criminals are much more brazen. The data being gathered can get you so much money, and the whole criminal data industry has grown so much, it's now a financially good investment for criminals to do these things, unquote, he says. Secondly, juice jacking has become easier to execute. Quote, the technology to do this has become much cheaper. It's almost a no-brainer. You can even buy ready-made cables for red teaming by Hack 5, unquote, Warmhoven says, referring to a long-running internet television show watched by hackers and cybersecurity professionals. I'll let that go. In cybersecurity parlance, a red team uses real-world adversarial tactics to identify the security points of vulnerability of an organization or client. I mean, Hack 5 is fine, but I don't think a lot of...
I mean, did they have to pick such a gay name for what it is?
It's fine, but it's kind of... Like, there's been some fun projects that come out of Hack 5, but...
It's not the most creative name.
Well, and it's not always the most creative show, but they...
I was just thinking it's like Cosmos. It's for noobs that like physics. It's not for the professionals.
Thank you, Madman. That's actually a really good way to put it.
That's the most diplomatic thing I've heard all week.
A lot of the stuff Hack 5 sells... You could do the same thing with a freaking ESP32 or an Arduino, right? They've just packaged it up, prettied it up, and made it look good. But a lot of it is stuff you could do with any microcontroller if you had the time or talent to develop it. So, and hell, most of the code's out there anyways. Warmhoven describes how a technically inexperienced user... or inexperienced attacker, could use Hack 5's OMG adapter to convert a charging plug at the airport simply by opening the socket, replacing the real adapter with the OMG adapter, and closing it back up. Quote, with practice, a few minutes is all it takes, unquote, he says, noting that a technically savvy criminal can build one for under $7. So, same thing I was just saying. You can buy the Hack 5 thing, but if you're building them, you can do it a lot cheaper than the Hack 5 stuff. Juice jacking attacks can be difficult to detect until months or even years later. Quote, if this happens to you, it can take a really long time for you to even notice, unquote, says Warmhoven, because the malware is stealthy, quietly sending data to a central place, which in turn sells it. By the time the victim's data reaches the end criminal, the vacation is long over. Quote, if your phone starts working unusually slow or feels hotter than usual, chances are you may have picked up malware, unquote, he says. Sure. The best way to protect yourself from juice jacking is prevention, says Warmhoven. Here are his tips. Instead of using public USB port, get a power bank. Now, that I definitely agree with. Power banks are safe, convenient. Yeah. They say that. Get a power bank from a reputable dealer. Go with a known name brand. Like, Anchors are usually pretty good. That's usually the one that comes to mind. There's several others out there, but you know, the cheapest power bank on Amazon that claims to be able to charge a Tesla in an hour, one, might be overstating its battery capacity, but two, may have the juice jacker in it if it's, you know, it might be in the fucking battery, right? People have opened these things up and found things. Although more commonly, they find the big battery packs, when they open them up, have a small, old, recycled cell phone battery in them, and it's like sand for weight or something, right? So, you know, at least go with a name brand on the battery, or, you know, at least someplace with a good reputation for returns. But I absolutely agree with the power bank versus the USB port, because a lot of times, I don't know about you guys, I don't think you guys have traveled recently. A lot of times I've seen these USB charging kiosks and the ports are fucked up. Like, they're damaged. Like, somebody's obviously, like, twisted a cable out of it, or you know, tried to run off with the cord still plugged in and fucked up the port. Or they look shaky. Often the installation is the cheapest Chinese crap that they can, especially like in hotel rooms. Because, you know, think about it. They're putting these little charging port plugs in, you know, a couple hundred hotel rooms for installation, or if they're doing it across a chain, a few thousand. They're going to go with the most cost-effective they can. And often it's going to be the cheap Chinesium components, right? So the thing I'm more concerned about with most of these USB ports is, I mean, yes, data, you know, port jacking, the juice jacking, whatever they're calling it here, absolutely a thing. And if you're in the kind of airport that would be targeted for this, absolutely something to be concerned about. I would not use these chargers. But at the same time, they're usually the cheapest component. They're usually going to be, you know, 5 volt, 2 amp at most. So if you've got a fast charger for doing your tablet or whatever, it's usually going to be significantly faster to bring your own fast charger than to use the little built-in USB port, right? And again, if you bring your own charger and it's a name brand one, you know it's going to be a hell of a lot safer, and you know that the components aren't going to fuck up and dump 120 volts down your USB port. Or 240, depending on what part of the world you're in.
So it's almost like he's saying, don't go sticking your thing in unknown outlets.
Well, right? Because, I mean, you know, a regular 120-volt outlet is pretty ubiquitous, and it's pretty obvious when those are fucked up beyond use. But the USB ports, you know, if you go sticking a cable in one of them and the port's fucked up, it can fuck up your cable. Now you don't have a charger or a cable, right?
Yeah.
The other thing they can do is, you know, they could have the malware in it, or the little charging circuit could have gone out. You know, anybody who's ever watched the, what's the guy's name on YouTube? Big Clive, the one who takes apart the chargers and stuff like that, has seen enough, you know, things that have arced. You know, these things might have, you know, the wrong voltage going through them, especially if a component's failed and people aren't exactly kind to them. So, you know. His other recommendation here is to use a USB data blocker. USB blockers are small, inexpensive devices that look like thumb drives but have an open port on the back. They plug directly into USB port, acting as a shield between the port and the device. So pretty much what these things are, you can make one yourself, by the way, are it's a USB port or USB plug, and on the back of it's the port so that you can plug your regular charging cable into it, and it only connects the power and ground lines. It just doesn't connect the two data lines at all, so the port's not physically capable. Some people call them USB condoms, but they're trying to change the name because that's rude. So some of them will have the little capacitor in them to tell the charger that, hey, this is a fast charge if you can or whatever. But yeah, apparently Amazon's selling them for like, you know, $3 a piece. But if you don't want to wait on them, take an old USB extension cord or even just, you know, a travel cord and just, you know, open it up and cut the green and white wires so that only the red and black are still connected. And congratulations, you've made a USB condom. It will charge and that's it. I don't know about you guys, but I've got a couple of USB cords floating around, mostly micro USB, that I occasionally find and get mad that I find because they're not... They're charging only cords. They don't have the data lines in them because I guess it's cost savings. They only put the two wires in them. So those make me mad because usually you're trying to hook something up and it's like it's meant for charging only kind of cord. So, but yeah, I mean, a lot of the people talking about it, there's lots of reasons not to use these public USB ports, but malware is certainly one of them. I mean, it's not impossible. I just don't think it's quite as, like, it's not quite as, like, every port like they make it out to be. It probably will eventually be along the lines of, like, credit card skimmers, you know, where just occasionally, you know, people find them. They're all over the fucking place. I assume it's going to be the same with these USB data jackers, but, you know, the little USB charging bricks are small enough. I'd just carry one with you, or better yet, the battery. I suppose if you had to use the public USB charger, it would be better to charge the battery off the public USB port, because the battery doesn't have any data processing in it to speak of to store malware. And if there is something wrong with the port, such that it's putting the wrong voltages out, at worst, the battery just doesn't charge or doesn't charge very quickly. Or, well, I guess that's not at worst, but that's, you know, the more likely problem. Or
it's exploding. Somebody else would have noticed before you plugged in, more than like.
Yeah, there's that too. So,
like, it blew up my battery pack, and it didn't blow up any phones before that.
Well, that just means somebody in the hotel maintenance is a jerk for not labeling it. But I don't know. You guys have any thoughts on this stuff?
Not a concern I'll ever have.
Go ahead, Mebben.
No, I think we covered it.
Oh, okay. I picked a poor discussion story because it was just me ranting.
Well, it's not a problem I'm ever going to have, Morbs.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Well, you still tablets or whatever.
I don't take anything with me.
I'm not going to say I would never have it, but I still have the portable battery packs that picked up from Gen Con, and they work.
Yeah.
Because I've only used them on vacation on occasion. Because I don't usually burn my phone down that much.
No, I try and stay tech-free when I'm away from the main rig. Like, just nothing. Maybe an MP3 player if I'm going away overnight.
Well, I use my phone as an MP3 player, especially at work. But on that one, I've got the phone charger plugged into an actual outlet, and then my phone plugged into it.
So, if you're that concerned about finding an open port at an airport, bring a power strip with you. Because if you're forced to share with a bunch of other people, having a power strip, well, hey, there's a solution for a lot of people waiting on a plane. So
you'd suddenly become very popular.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, anyways, next article here is from Vice. There were a few versions of this one floating around too, but anyways, so this is from Vice Motherboard. A new report from USPIRG finds that Chromebooks, cheap design and short lifespan, means people are treating them as disposable and is creating piles of waste. Chromebooks have become a key part of many students' educational lives, but like our smartphones, they aren't built to last. It's worse than that, though. They have an expiration date, one that creates a big problem with e-waste down the line. And that's a problem that has long been known about these low-end machines, but something that, quote, Chromebook churn, unquote, a new report from the U.S. Public Interest Research Group Education Fund makes clear. I have not looked into this group. I don't know if this is actually a legitimate thing, a branch of government, or two idiots with a fax machine. The report and analysis of the Chromebook market in the wake of its extreme growth and the popularity at the beginning of the pandemic notes that these devices are manufactured to be inexpensive, so it means when they fall apart, they tend to do so in a non-repairable fashion, creating 9 million tons of carbon dioxide emissions during the first year of the pandemic alone by extending the life of the devices. The organization states it could not only save emissions, but save taxpayers $1.8 billion by cutting down on the need for replacements. Chromebooks, the report argues, comes with hidden costs that aren't highlighted by the price tag. For one, finding replacement parts can be really hard, even between two similar designs. USPIOG pointed out that the very minor differences between the cases on the Dell 11-31000 and the Dell 100-3110, which nonetheless rendered the designs incompatible. So what, they went and found a couple of Dells with similar model numbers and then pointed out that they didn't use the same parts? Additionally, manufacturer parts tend to be lacking. For example, HP only sells power cords and AC adapters at the parts store at a price well above what you'd find them for at retail. Quote, the combined price of these parts is more than half the cost of a new laptop, unquote. The report states, quote, these high costs make schools reconsider Chromebooks as a cost-saving strategy, unquote. Bullshit. The number of students I've heard about at work having Chromebooks, bullshit.
And the so-called built-in obsolescence, do they actually brick or are they just made cheaply? Those are two different things.
They don't actually brick, but after about 5 years, they stop getting updates. I have a couple of Chromebooks in the closet that when you turn them on, Chrome says they're unsupported, go buy new hardware. One of them I'm keeping because it's still actually decent enough hardware that it's worth trying to hack the thing and put Linux on. I just haven't gotten around to it. Item number 205 on the ever-growing to-do list. But they're attacking this. I think they've got a legitimate point in the amount of waste of these things because you know schools are just rotating these things out as they break. And when they hit that product line, they just buy the next model, right? They're probably rotating out. But I thought they gave them to the students. I thought it wasn't just like, you know, the school rotating them in and out. I thought they actually gave them to the students. Although I'm sure a lot of kids are throwing them away when they come up and say it's obsolete, go buy a new one. Because it basically does say that. The language is a little prettier, but it basically does say, hey, it's obsolete, go buy a new Chromebook. Even though the hardware's probably fine.
Just remember to dispose of them in the ocean along with your unused batteries.
But I think that's so crap. If the hardware is still useful, use it until you can't use the hardware.
Never mind the fact that you can usually hack these things and put Linux on them. Hell, some you can put Windows on.
Honestly, if they're being used for school, how up to date do they need to be? They need to run, what, a word processor? Be able to hop onto the internet for research. It's not like you're playing video games on the damn things.
Actually, you can run Android apps on most Chromebooks these days. So the games are going to be mobile games. The word processor is Google Docs. The web pages, I guess you could probably run it as some that won't load correctly on a lower-end Chromebook that's only got a couple gigs of RAM or 4 gigs of RAM, so whatever they've got. I haven't even looked lately at Chromebooks, you know. I don't know the hardware. I think it's kind of interesting that they've got a point in that Google just, you know, after 5 years says, okay, it's not supported, go buy a new one. But, you know, I mean, it's. I think they've got a point that there's probably is a lot of waste that's generated by that. Not to mention the number of people who probably buy them thinking they'll use them, figure out their crap, and they end up just living in a closet for a few years till they get chucked. There's an HP 2013 Chromebook with 8 gig of RAM, 4 gig of RAM, 4 gig. Looks like most of them have 4 or 8. Just quickly scrolling through a couple of lists here. Oh, there's one with 2. It's $64. But, you know, yeah. I've had a couple of Chromebooks. They're cheap plastic. They're crap. They're basically designed to be disposable. Go ahead, Batman.
Well, I was just thinking, with if you're just doing school and office work, I think you could possibly squeeze more than 5 years out of them. Am I just that old-fashioned?
No, I think you're right, but that's, you know, such an attitude doesn't help the manufacturer's product lines. So,
give a fuck about the manufacturer or their product.
The reason I update my computer is it stops playing video games. Yeah. And it's not that the old games stop working on it. It's that I can't run the new one that I want to play.
Well, after Suave's report on his new machine, I'm like, okay, I need to try Star Citizen again because it's running quite well on his machine. I'm like, it ran like crap on my machine, and the specs aren't that different. Yeah, his machine's a little newer, but come on. It's only a year up. Anyways. In the United States, there are no official measures for a device's repairability, so USPIRG analyzed repair scores from France, where devices are measured for repairability, just how Energy Star program measures a device's energy consumption. France's program found that on average, Chromebooks scored a 5.8 out of 10, well below the 6.9 average for non-Chromebook laptops. On the plus side, at least one Chromebook manufacturer, Framework, has made easy repair. Is Framework making a Chromebook? I thought they were just a regular laptop. Oh, they do have a Chromebook edition. Okay. I didn't know that. However, the high-end expectation rather than the low-end rule. But even if a device does somehow survive more than a few years, the machines are designed to eventually fall out of support. Some Chromebooks tend to have expiration dates well into the future. For example, Google's Pixelbook 2-in-1 sold from 2017 to 2020, and we'll see its auto-update expiration date hit next year. However, many of the lowest-end models that are attractive to most consumers and schools tend to be far older, meaning that Chromebook's effective life might only be a year or two before the device stops receiving software updates. And because Chromebooks, like MacBooks, are often locked down by administrators, it can become impossible to put them back into circulation, even with alternative operating systems like Linux. So they're saying Google needs to take steps to resolve the issues and support the things for 10 years. So, I don't know about supporting them for 10 years. I mean, I get it. I think their idea is in the right place, but I don't know about the recommendations they're making. Because I'm sure there's a lot of Chromebooks that are just ending up in the trash. I have no doubt of that. And many of them probably are just old, you know? Or, you know, the case gets cracked because they're cheap plastic. Or somebody goes and buys a better laptop and then it just ends up in the trash kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, but they are kind of designed to be disposable. And that's, you know, that's just, I just feel like that should be up front, you know? You should just understand that these things are kind of designed to be disposable. You're not exactly, I mean, I don't know of anybody who bought a Chromebook expecting it to be their next major laptop for the next 10 years.
I could see a push maybe letting people know places like PC Pit Stop exists. Drop your trash electronics there and they'll part it out.
Yeah.
Recycle, you know?
Just send it back to the ocean, madman. Just as easy.
Just go up.
Habitat for homeless fish.
Go up back, douse it in gasoline, light it on fire. The plastics will burn. They will return to the environment.
Exactly. Just as nature intended.
Duck them at seagulls.
I guess next article. I don't have a dojo for tonight, so it's just kind of doing articles till we get to time. I didn't have time to hunt for a dojo. I've been doing work stuff all week, okay? I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I'm not sorry. Sometimes there's not a dojo link. Next one up.
Hold up. Huh? I was just reading the headline. Isn't the whole upside of Reddit is I can go there for free and read random shit.
Reddit posted an update regarding Reddit's API today on the official Reddit's... this article is from ghacks.net. On the official Reddit sub-forum on the site. In it, the company explains that it will be updating its terms of service for developers, quote, to ensure developers have the tools and information they need to continue to use Reddit safely, to protect our users' privacy and security, and adhere to local regulations, unquote. Why do companies always do this? Why don't... I mean... Nobody believes the marketing bullshit. Nobody believes it when they say, oh, it's to promote safety and make things better. No, it's not. You're charging for something you used to give away for free. Just be straight up about it. We need another revenue stream. Get, you know, bend over and suck it. Yet everyone always says, oh, to better support end users, we're now going to, you know, bend them over and... Ask him to think of England even more often. Broken down to its core, Reddit plans to limit access to its developer platform. The post is vague, but the main takeaways are that Reddit will commercialize its API and limit access to the API for free developers and access to mature content. The company claims that its API will still be, quote, open for appropriate use cases and accessible, unquote, via its developer platform, but will introduce rate limits. The information is vague and does not reveal additional details. Reddit did not provide information on the rate limits, API access costs, and what it considers appropriate use cases, and how it plans to handle mature content access in the future. One Reddit app developer, the creator of the Apollo app, posted additional details on the app's forum on the Reddit on Reddit after contacting Reddit for clarification. In the calls, Reddit confirmed that it is moving to a paid API model for apps. The company claimed that its main intention is to cover the costs of usage and lost revenue. Lost revenue refers to Reddit not being able to earn revenue from the users of third-party apps. Reddit states that the API costs will be usage-based, but details were not provided on the cost at the time. Additionally, Reddit does not seem to be interested in offering free usage of the API for the majority of third-party apps out there. Mature content, or not-safe-for-work content, might not be accessible via APIs in the future, and the company admitted it has not finalized the decision at this point. All in all, it is clear that third-party application landscape for Reddit will change significantly later this year. Many free apps will vanish or have to move to a subscription model. Paid Reddit apps that charge a one-time fee may also need to move to a subscription model or take into account the usage-based API access fees. Reddit apps optimized for access of not-safe-for-work content will likely be doomed, provided that Reddit does not have a change of heart in the last minute and keeps access to mature content available through its API. In that event, these apps may also need to charge for access using a subscription-based model. Reddit may have hopes that users of third-party apps will move to the official Reddit app instead. Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to do. Reddit plans to reveal more about its plans, including information about limits and price, in the coming weeks. Plans are to launch the updated terms of and API access in June. Access in web browsers remains free as it's is direct access. The move looks to, like a repeat of Twitter's decision to drop its free API. So, Reddit's nerfing itself. Reddit is going to kill off all the third-party apps, or at least force them to go to subscription models, and try to get people to go to the official Reddit app so they can monetize them. I mean, it's pure corporate greed. They're going to
once again, not my problem.
They're going to kill the platform, basically.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to force it into a box so that they can make more money off of it. Maybe
not my problem.
Maybe the majority of usage is through the website and not through the third-party apps, but I think the third-party apps are a lot of it because the official Reddit app sucks. It's slow. It's kludgy. And the interface is crap compared to... I mean, I like Bacon Reader. It's what I usually use. But, do you guys have any thoughts on that?
I think they may actually improve their app and make it good?
Fuck no.
I'm not a big user of the site, so it doesn't worry me.
Madman, think about it. They're trying to kill off the third-party apps. They're not trying to entice people over by making a better experience. They're trying to kill the competition. Why would they bother improving their app? If they wanted, if they were going to take the route of improving their app to get people to move over by providing a better experience, they would be doing that instead of killing the free API. And they've, current owners of Reddit have probably wanted to get rid of the not safe for work stuff for a long time just due to legal issues. That's always a gray area at best.
No, especially with the municipalities wanting logins for porn.
Mm-hmm.
That's becoming more and more popular.
Well, it's like I said last week, the original internet's lost. It's done.
Yep.
It's commercial. Gone. It's
well, gone once commercial. You started going with you going through apps to get to Reddit rather than using a browser, I'm thinking that's when you could start saying the original internet was gone, because used to browse the internet, you used a browser.
But this is also why I'm not upset about this. At this point, it's no longer fighting for something. It's just watching it burn.
Like everything, man. Everything.
I mean, I don't like it, but yeah. The original internet is dead. It is a pure commercial operation at this point. We should not be surprised when any company, even if it's a company that we thought was doing good, decides to fuck over its users, bend them over, and have their way. Last article. I've got some choices here. FTC, we got a payment firm accused of aiding the contact Microsoft about a virus scam, being forced to pay money. I've got Imgur wanting to get rid of the not safe for work and anonymous content next month. And that's it. So which one do you guys want to do? The Imgur story or the payment firm story?
Let's look at Imgur. What are they doing?
Okay. This article is from Ars Technica. Paste the link in here so you guys can see the article. And update the show notes because we're skipping the register story. Hosting site Imgur will remove explicit content and anonymous content next month. Imgur, an image hosting site that has been one of the web's go-to spots for linking high-res images since 2010, has told users that it intends to remove explicit images and old, unused, and inactive content as of May 15th. The new terms of service are somewhat expanded upon in a post on the Safety and Standards section of Imgur's help section. Quote, we will be focused on removing old, unused, and inactive content that is not tied to a user account from our platform, as well as nudity, pornography, and sexually explicit content, unquote, the page reads. Quote, most notably, this would include explicit pornographic content, unquote. Imgur notes that it will employ automated detection software alongside human moderators to help identify content, explicit content. Under a Why Are We Doing This heading, Imgur claims that it is primarily aligning its, quote, community rules, unquote, which apply to community interactions on the site, like comments and public galleries, with its all-content terms of service. But Imgur also notes that explicit and illegal content have historically posed a risk to Imgur's community and its business, and that removing it will help to protect the future of Imgur's community. Artistic nudity will be permitted, the site says, although it's, quote, calibrating automated detection in these early stages, unquote. So content may be flagged. If the post ends in a GIF or a fluffy puffy offered as a token of our thanks. Oh, in a GIF of a fluffy puppy offered as a token of our thanks. So you posted a picture of a puppy after saying you're cutting off a good chunk of the site. Imgur, which was acquired by a multi-brand holding company Media Lab AI, Inc. in 2021, initially grew out of a poster's inability to upload images to many sites, including Reddit, quote, or which offended or offer native image uploading in 2016, unquote. As the developer of a popular third-party Reddit client, Apollo noted, the site continues to be the main place for not-safe-for-work Reddit image uploads due to Reddit not allowing explicit content to be uploaded directly to Reddit. Removing not-safe-for-work content on a site with a reputation for storing it and hoping for an algorithm and hoping an algorithm can do the work is a strangely well-worn path. The most famous company to do something similar was Tumblr, the blogging site that tried to ban all adult content in 2018. Having been purchased by Verizon Subsidy that was looking to commercialize its property and avoid issues with the App Store approval, Tumblr has become a well-known venue for, or had become a well-known venue for adult content, specifically for material not easily accessible or broadly represented in mainstream. Mostly heteronormative pornography. I don't know why they felt the need to note that. As noted 2 days later in an Ars headline, Tumblr's porn ban is going about as badly as expected. The algorithm consistently flagged material that was not sexual but may have involved LGBTQIAI plus content. Glad they wrote that out because I don't remember it. Tended to overcorrect for female images versus male, and made confusing decisions about dragons, crochet handles, and Alex Overkin sleeping with the Stanley Cup. The internet is a strange place. In 2022, under the ownership of WordPress parent Automattic, Tumblr announced it would no longer restrict nudity or other sexual themes, relying on the community to label and filter such content. So, in other words, Tumblr tried to back out, but at that point, the damage was done, right? Content subscription site OnlyFans, an even more brazen disassociative move, sought to ban vaguely defined sexually explicit material in 2021, but not nudity, to comply with the requests of our banking partners and payout providers. OnlyFans was also allegedly seeking to attract investors at a valuation of $1 billion. The company went back on that plan less than a week later. For whatever the reason for Imgur's pivot, there is more at stake in the company's announcement than a not-safe-for-work ban. The phrasing of old, unused, and inactive content that is not tied to a user account as something to be removed endangers a good deal of content that doesn't have a home elsewhere. So, this is going to break a ton of links across old stuff. And maybe not even old stuff. I don't know. It's saying not associated with an account. So, I think
pretty much anyone that's done anonymous instead of logging into their account, their links are about to stop working.
Yep. So I think we're probably looking at another major platform shift from Reddit and Imgur to something else, because these companies are now trying to make money instead of building community. So I guess they've hit that phase of the major website, and they're about to run off half their users, which is going to make the other half follow the first half, because the more interesting shit's going to be somewhere else.
Great. 4chan just got flooded with new fags.
Thank you, are you?
That's where they go on. Probably. Whenever something goes wrong with Reddit, they fucking first port a call. Fuck up the Reddit board, the 4chan boards.
Well, how are they monetizing now?
Ads.
Advertising and selling the user lists.
And like they were talking about with OnlyFans, you know, is this pressure coming from a banking institution or is this coming from somewhere else? Because like you said, some states are starting to look to get more restrictive about it.
Yeah, I said municipalities because it's not just like states in the U.S. I'm thinking countries as well. The European Union is looking into, you must register to look at porn as well.
So,
and verified IDs.
I don't know, man. I just...
Yeah, that's going to work, madman. Probably going to work, because that's how you get rid of pornography.
I don't think it'll get rid of it, but I think it will reduce its distribution. You can still find heroin and hitmen. I'm thinking slightly more difficult than porn at this point.
Well, I don't know. Psychro sent me an interesting article that I ended up not using for the show, but I looked at it, where they were catching people responding to want ads looking for hitmen, mostly guys posting their photos in military uniforms saying, yeah, I'll be a hitman. It's like, like getting caught.
Money's tough, man. Quickly. Money's tough right now. People do a lot.
Yeah.
They,
I mean, what
would you, the hell are you doing that to that cat? Fuck.
They think
dude.
Life is like a movie.
You know, what would you do for a Klondike bar? Would you kill a man? So, I don't
know. Can I use a hammer?
Although, on the falsely pegging dragons, I'm thinking those dragons were in Vore. And it might not have been false. I've been to that website.
Okay. Anyways, that's all I've got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Beer Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit. In the IRC tonight, we have Alhazard, Cyberlard, Madman, myself, and Sardonyx. Are you? Closing thoughts.
I was just thinking, next time I get harassed by some young girl about fucking climate change, I'm going to tell them they need to ban makeup because that's causing a lot of pollution too, and just watch them lose their shit.
Well, watch them try to prove it's wrong because that's mm-hmm. good luck. I like it, though. That's funny. Madman, closing thoughts.
Bunnies stick together a lot more than I thought they would.
Wait, what?
As we're discussing immigrant, I'm actually on their site, and I'm watching this bunny rabbit try to beat the shit out of a dude for stealing his body.
We're on two different websites, man.
Their teeth is something to be concerned about, but it's a rabbit. I mean,
I don't know, man. I've seen movies. Let's see what happens when.
I mean, granted, it is fighting a chick, so it might, you know, have a better chance, but it's like boxing.
I mean, is it that rabbit?
They're hares, Madman. They're not rabbits. They're hares.
Oh, they're so rabbits.
Not a rabbit. They're hares.
Same thing.
And it's not beating it up. It's trying to fuck it. We need to have the talk again. Yeah, that rabbit is not. That's not violence. That's love. That's rabbit love. Not my kind of love. But the rabbits can have it.
Violent, aggressive.
What? That woman is cock blocking that rabbit. I never thought I'd put those words together, but there you go.
That's
one for the sound clips.
That's all I've got. I'm going to play some sound clips and close this out.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.